begin with, the obvious. The number of participants exiting with employment, as I mentioned earlier, for all VR agencies, there's an increase from 153,000 to 143,000 just the last year. That was a 6.4% decrease. But for one VR agency, we went from 3,887 down to 3,401. That's a 12.3% decrease, almost twice as much as for overall. That's a very significant impact. So I can't tell you exactly why. It's just that's what the data is, and I think we have to acknowledge it, and we have to address it, and figure out how we can manage that better. So what we're seeing with the trends, I think they make clear that following the implementation of WIOA, VR agencies are serving significantly more students and with disabilities as compared to before WIOA. Before WIOA, I think that we were 24 and younger, we were serving about 30%. And as I said, now we're up over. So that requires that those funds used to provide pre-employment services is going to mean that there are fewer resources available to serve adults. We're also seeing an impact around Section 511 and the need to serve more individuals with significant disabilities and the significant amount of time and resources that are necessary in order to assist those individuals into the competitive way. So those trends are contributing to fewer individuals keeping employment out. So I think we need to acknowledge that data, and again, we need to know how to address it. What changes? How do we evolve as VR programs across the country to be able to effectively provide services and to get our story out and our message that we continue to provide quality employment services for everyone that comes in, but the demographics has changed in terms of being heard. So I do want to share that even with these numbers, there's still continued support for the VR programs by administration and Congress. And this, we've seen that within the budget request, where the funding levels have been paying or are no cuts in fiscal year 2021. But I just want to conclude by saying we take what we learned from our history, from the data that I shared to you, the experiences we're having today with COVID-19, and we need to use those to keep evolving to a program that's preparing us all for whatever it means. And before I go, I just want to say that we need to embrace that great work for those who have come before us, because the progress we're making is because we stand on the shoulders of those individuals. So for the commission over the years, I just want to say I've really had the opportunity and the privilege to be able to work with many great leaders. So I think back about Dr. James Diamond, Dr. Paul Van Zandt, and now Carlos. And so I would just like to thank you, Carlos, your staff, and past leadership for that leadership and their dedication to turn into business for one and business for. So, you know, while we're facing unprecedented challenges right now because of the times, we continue to respond with innovative strategies and creative delivery. We continue to adapt and beginning to make changes. But one thing I hope never changes, and that's the basic purpose of our programs in VR. To help students, youth, and adults with disabilities achieve high quality employment. And by that I mean high quality employment outcomes that they choose and which allow them to reach, to the extent that they desire, their highest career goals and their fullest potential. So at the state and federal level, we're going to continue to work to improve the VR program during the next 100 years. I probably won't be here for that full time, but that should be our goal, right? To continually improve, continue to evolve. So I want to thank you on behalf of RSA and myself for the great work that's being done at the commission and that you continue to do, and for allowing me to be a part of your celebration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for your hard work and showing your passion and wisdom in the highest entity in the federal government to provide services to people with disability. With that, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Fred Schroeder. He used to be the executive director of the Commission for the Blind in New Mexico. When I came to America in 1989, I ended in New Mexico when he was director there. Before that, he was the president of the National Federation of the Blind of New Mexico, and under his leadership, they were able to create the separate independent agency for the blind in New Mexico. And I heard a lot of the stories and the transformation they made in New Mexico. And then he became the director, and under his leadership, he orchestrated all those great changes. So I mentioned he was the one who also hired me in New Mexico. And then he went on to be the commissioner of RSA. But let me just stop there for a moment, because in May of 1988, as I was getting ready for the summer program, I got a call. You know, I answered, as usual, Carlos Servan, and this person told me, is this Carlos? This is Dr. Van Zandt. Dr. Schroeder gave me your name, and I got scared. I said, okay, what did Fred say to her about me? Well, she was looking for a deputy director, and that's how I was recruited. So I know Dr. Van Zandt, I think, is on the call. She is the one who hired me here, took the risk. Under her leadership, I grew. And we became a separate agency for the blind when she was also a director. Just imagine somebody said it was like changing tires while the car was moving. And you just picture Pearl driving and getting out her arms and trying to change the tires. And for those of us who know Pearl, she's tough, especially when she drives. So Pearl, thanks for all your leadership. I hope you are enjoying your retirement. And with that, I'll go back to Dr. Schroeder. Dr. Schroeder is now the president of the World Blind Union, and he's going to address this audience. Thank you, Dr. Schroeder.
Thank you, Carlos. Are you able to hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, it's a real pleasure and honor to be with all of you this afternoon on this great occasion. I want to talk just a little bit about separate agencies for the blind and why they are so important. I won't give you lots of data, but I will tell you that all the way back into the 70s and maybe before the 1970s, there have been a number of studies that have looked at the question of whether blind agencies are more efficient, more effective in serving blind and visually impaired people than combined agencies. And from that time until the present, every study has concluded that the outcomes for blind and partially sighted people in separate agencies for the blind are superior. At one time, I remember reading a statistic that at that time there were 25 separate agencies for the blind, and so almost half of the state programs had separate agencies for the blind. I say almost half because at that time there were, I think, 81 or 82 agencies, because you have all the states and then you have the trust territories and the District of Columbia. So there were like 82 agencies at that time. And of the 25 agencies for the blind, the separate programs, they were responsible for placing 70% of all the closures of blind and low vision people in the preceding year. I said I won't give you a lot of data, but I'll give you just one more because I think it speaks to the quality that Commissioner Schultz was discussing a few moments ago. Mississippi State University has done a lot of research into the question of the effectiveness of separate agencies for the blind. And there are many, many different ways you can look at the data. But one that leapt out at me is that people who are served through a separate agency for the blind are twice as likely to be self-supporting at closure. Twice as likely. That's a stunning statistic, but it speaks to what I consider to be the real heart of a separate program for the blind. And that is an agency that believes in blind people, invests in blind people, has high expectations, and puts those expectations into practice through the rehabilitation process. Nebraska has one of the very best orientation centers in the country. And an orientation center is an important part of a separate agency for the blind. As Carlos mentioned, I previously directed the New Mexico Commission for the Blind. And one of the first things we did when we were able to create a separate agency for the blind was we completely revamped the training at the orientation center. We changed it to be one of high expectations, one that demanded of students that they become as proficient as they can possibly be. I bring this up because one of the things that we hear from some agencies is that because of the choice provisions in the Rehabilitation Act, students or blind consumers cannot be compelled to take all of the courses that are offered through the orientation center. Now, it is true that a consumer cannot be compelled to go to an orientation center. That's where choice comes in. But it is not true that if a student or a consumer elects to go to a center, that he or she has the right to say, well, I don't really care for cane travel. I think I'll just skip that course. Or I don't care for computer technology, so I'll skip that course. I think the best analogy is a university. You can decide to go to a university or not go to a university. But if you go to the university, you do not have the right to say, I don't really care for this textbook. I think I should use a different textbook, or I know my major requires biology, but I'm not interested in biology. It is at the program level where choice becomes a factor. I say that because comprehensive rehabilitation training for blind and partially sighted people is really fundamental, not only to improving skills, but positive attitudes about blindness. All of you know that we talk a lot about positive attitudes. And why do we talk about positive attitudes? Well, I think all of you would agree that it is not particularly hard to prepare a blind person to work. It takes some time, it might take some training, some assistive technology, but it's not especially hard to prepare a blind person to work. But it is very hard to get the person accepted by an employer. Why? Well, it is because of society's low expectations. Society's assumption that blind people are automatically incapable or at least significantly less capable than others. And part of the process of reshaping attitudes is to help people understand that we live in a society that has very low expectations for blind people. Or said more bluntly, blind people experience discrimination. Not discrimination based on hostility, but discrimination nevertheless. As many of you know, I worked at the Nebraska agency. I went there in 1978 to teach cane travel. In fact, Dr. Van Zandt, when she was a staff trainee, was one of my students. And Pearl, I apologize for probably all the mistakes I made, but you turned out well in spite of me. But I was there in 1978, and in 1980, I wanted to move back to New Mexico. I was from New Mexico. And there was a position open for a teacher of blind children with the Albuquerque Public Schools. I applied for the position. I had a master's degree in special education. I had 2 years of teaching experience in Nebraska. I had very good recommendations. My academic record was good and so on. So I was called for an interview and I was very, very hopeful. Well, that was in August of 1980. And a few weeks later, the school year started and I had not been called. So I assumed that someone else got the job.
Can you see anything?
But it turns out that I was wrong. It turns out I was the only applicant. And the school district literally decided they were better off with an empty chair than hiring a blind person as a teacher. That's discrimination. And it will crush the human spirit unless we help people understand that we are part of a minority group that experiences low expectations in a fundamental and systemic way, and that to counter those low expectations, we need to build our internal confidence, and also we need to be part of the advocacy movement that demands equality, equality of opportunity for blind and low vision people. As I say, the statistics around separate agencies for the blind stand for themselves. They speak for themselves. But the heart behind it, I believe, is in the spirit that believes in blind people, that encourages blind people, that does not simply approach rehabilitation as addressing the functional aspects of blindness, but helps the individual consumer build his or her own expectations, develop positive attitudes about blindness, and develop the strength to be able to go out and meet the challenges of society. The Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired has done outstanding work over the years. I was hired by Dr. Nyman, and those of you who knew Dr. Nyman, you're very fortunate. He was a wonderful man, a singular sort of fellow, as you might say. And then Dr. Van Zandt came, and she took the program and continued developing it. And now we have Carlos Servan as the director, and his job is the same as Pearl's and the same as Dr. Nyman's. That is to take the foundation and keep evolving, keep developing, keep expanding opportunities. I'm very pleased and proud to have been a part of this celebration, and I wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much, Fred, for your remarks. It's being recorded, and I'm sure we are going to be using it more for training. Fred gave an example about 40 years ago when he was denied a position at the Albuquerque Public Schools. 40 years ago is not that long, but we still see that around, and we see that here in Lincoln. In Nebraska, many places prefer not to hire blind people and just keep the chair empty. And as a commission for the blind, it's also our duty to develop those partnerships with the public school, not just for better education of our blind children, but also that they hire qualified blind people. So a new task for us. Thanks for the reminder, Dr. Schroeder. With that, we have another person who is very wise and again has the passion and the love to serve the blind, a leader in the blind community in Nebraska. Barbara Lowes is not only a friend, but she also was the first chair of the Commission for the Blind Board. Like I mentioned earlier, it was very hard and difficult to start running an agency in the beginning. Barbara Lowes was the leader of the board and set the expectations back then. So I'm going to be moving out of my chair so Barbara can sit here.
Protocol happening here. thank you. I appreciate your remarks, Carlos. And are we ready to